figures, many chained together. At a slightly higher level, Ryan saw a number of the scaly guards, all apparently asleep. The roof seemed to be high and vaulted, but the lack of light made it difficult to make out. At a rough guess, it was a full 300 feet across. On the far side, toward the ville, there seemed to be the opening of still more tunnels and passages. The stained walls glistened with discolored streaks of ice. Ryan beckoned JB to his side.
Must have patrols out on the land side. These are reliefs. Best move before they start changing shifts.
Too late.
Ryan led the hasty retreat back into the darkness of the tunnel, watching from the shadows as squat muties came shuffling in. They all wore the black berets with the lightning flash. Most carried self-made blasters or had small-caliber pistols tucked into broad belts. They all seemed to know where they were going and what they were doing. They woke their replacements with a minimal waste of time, then took their sleeping blankets. It was all over and done in less than 10 minutes.
Like to meet the scaly that runs all this one day.
Can't wait any longer. Won't be too long before those bodies by the river get found. Be hard getting away after that. Go around to the right.
It was like picking a way through a breathing nightmare. The wind outside the scaly space blew along the nest of passages, brightening the fires, blowing smoke and wreathing clumps all across the great room. Bodies lay everywhere, moving restlessly, as though part of some vast living organism. In among the rags, it was virtually impossible to determine the sex or age of the prisoners. At that moment, Ryan felt a wave of despair. There had to be well over 100 in the Muti slave labor force. How to find a 10-year-old boy, assuming he was still there and still living? Ryan wound a mazy path through the slumbering crowd, often having to step over sleepers. Once his foot caught in the ragged edge of a torn blanket, snagging it so that it was tugged away from a figure it had been covering.
What are you...
Ryan froze. A trick of the firelight showed him the face. It was a woman, vaguely Asian, with narrowed eyes. She half smiled up at Ryan. With the smoke billowing around them, it was a truly strange, dreamlike moment. All color was draining out, and the great cavern was tinted only with a variety of shades of gray, some dark and some lighter. The woman looked to be in her late teens or her early 20s. There was a thick chain around her right wrist that had worn a bloody gouge in her flesh, linking her to the sleeper next to her. She also had a fading bruise on her left cheek. Ryan lifted a finger to his lips, managing a half-smile to reassure her. She blinked, her mouth gaping open, as though she was easing out of a drugged world of half-truths. Then she opened her mouth a little farther.
Aris! Help! Help! Aris!
The word sliced into Dean Carter's dozing brain, jerking him fully awake to find the short, muscle-bound scaly looming over him. The creature was holding a short-hafted axe with a curved blade in its left hand, and it had a battered automatic pistol in its belt. It had been about to throw itself on the 10-year-old, and the front of its pants already gaped open. But the noise checked its lust, and it turned away from Dean.
Not this time, baby, but I'll be back again.
The boy lay still, fighting the terror that threatened to overwhelm him. He stood and began to move slowly and cautiously toward the sound of the firefight. Ryan came infinitely close to wasting 3 bullets by pulping the skull of the screaming woman, but his combat training controlled him, and his finger relaxed on the trigger.
Fire blast.
All the thinking and the planning was shot to hell because of a torn piece of old blanket. Now the only thing to do was carry out as much killing as possible and head back for the tunnel and the waiting wreck wag. With dozens upon dozens of armed scalies coming awake all around the cavern, it was going to be tough. The initial danger was a small group by a nearby fire. They were already up, snouts questing toward the source of the noise. One of them, quicker than the others, had his blaster drawn and was leveling it at the invaders.
Mine.
Pick your targets! Back to the tunnel! I'm covering you with a G-12!
It wasn't a time for argument. Doc led the way, his long legs stretching out, knees exploding like firecrackers. 3 scalies, one armed with a long pike, lumbered across to try to cut them off. Doc paused for a moment to steady his aim.
Sic transit gloria, heathens!
I got your back, Doc!
And I yours!
Mildred was at JB's side, the two of them fighting like a team. He was spraying attackers with a Styrog blaster, while the woman selected her targets with scrupulous care, not missing a single kill. Ryan stood his ground, watching his friends heading for the safety of the tunnel, trying to judge the best moment to move himself. He kept glancing around at the hysterical mob, looking out for Scalies within striking distance. But he was also looking for something else. A young boy, solemn-faced, with a shock of black curly hair.
Dean! Dean, are you there? Dean! Oh, shit!
Ryan spotted at least 20 Scalies, running in a well-drilled platoon, all hefting carbines. They had appeared from a side tunnel, not far from where Christy and the others had nearly made it. Ryan guessed they were some sort of Muti elite force. JB saw them first, hesitating, and then checking his blaster.
Got three rounds.
Doc was effectively blasterless, and Mildred's revolver held only six rounds to begin with. Christy had fired well over half the 13 that her P7A-13 held. The armorer gave Ryan the hand signal that meant they were nearly out of ammo. Putting the smooth butt of the G-12 to his shoulder, Ryan got ready to do business. If he failed to get all aces on the line, then life was just a few heartbeats long. And then it was over. 20 Scalies were dying on the floor, in a welter of gushing blood and shards of splintered bone. Immediately, a few of the quicker-witted prisoners moved in to grab the carbines from the clawed hands. Other muties were trying to shoot at the outies, but the human slaves were milling around, causing such a shambles that it was impossible. Someone tipped the huge bowl of fish stew into one of the fires. Another fire was extinguished by bodies falling into it, and the light was fading fast.
Go!
JB paused, dropping an empty clip from his blaster and reaching in his coat pocket for a fresh mag.
Go! Now!
JB shrugged his shoulders and turned on his heel, leading the other three in a sprint along the tunnel. The massacre of the top squad of Scalies had redoubled the panic and bedlam behind Ryan. He glanced around once, his good eye piercing the gloom and smoke. He somehow still hoped that he might see a small figure running toward him, arms wide, calling out his name, yet knowing the absurdity of the idea. The attack had failed miserably. Now the Scalies would be that much more careful and vengeful. It wouldn't be surprising if they carried out reprisals against their own prisoners. Any future rescue attempt would be unimaginably more difficult and would probably take weeks to organize and execute. Faced with the terrifying firepower of the Heckler & Koch automatic rifle, the Scalies weren't interested in coming at him again, contenting themselves with making their own escape across the bodies of their victims. Just one of their big central fires was now burning, and the scattered wall torches threw only small pools of distorted light. Apart from the general impression of twisting bodies and ear-bursting screams, it was impossible to pick out any individual.
Fuck. Time to go.
And Ryan turned to leave.
Oh, shit.
The thrown spear had made Ryan slip and fall on his hands and knees. Then he straightened and faced a heavily built Scaly, standing less than 15 feet away from him. The creature held an axe, short-hafted, with a polished, curved blade in its left hand. In its right was a rusting Smith & Wesson 459M, pointing straight at Ryan's chest.
I be blasting you into blood and bits.
The long, lizard-like skull was thrusting toward Ryan, a twisted grin of triumph on its peeled lips. The hooded eyes stared unblinkingly at Ryan, and the clawed fingers tightened convulsively on the butt of the automatic. The creature grinned.
You be chilled out.
Beyond the Muti, Ryan thought he caught a flicker of movement in the shadows, but it vanished. The empty G-12 hung in his hands, useless. At that range, there wasn't even a chance of throwing the rifle at the Scaly. The Sig Sauer P226 was fully loaded in its holster, but it was equally useless.
Do it then, you Muti piece of shit.
Ryan's mind contained a mixture of killing rage and regret at the futility of dying in a stinking hole under a ruined vill. And he felt a deep pain at not seeing Christy again. Behind the straddle-legged Scaly, there was another movement in the blackness, a tiny flame of light off steel. Dean had followed the menacing guard as it ran toward the scene of the gunfire. He gripped the little knife as he chased it, not knowing why he was pursuing the Scaly. All his life, Rona had drummed into him to keep out of trouble and remain inconspicuous,